Anyway, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Manuela, and I've been part of Trinity Church for 10 of the 15 glorious years. But I did come in the very first year to a carol service, and then it took me a little while to come back. But I did, and I've been here for 10 wonderful years, and I'm really, really honoured to be standing here. I got the Mother's Day gig. What an honour. Yeah. I do love that we honour our mums at Trinity and we honour women. And that's the difference in God's kingdom, isn't it? That we see the mother heart in every woman because God has made us different to men. And we don't want to take anything away from the guys because God has put something wonderful in them. But it's not about the dads today. It's about the ladies. And we do want to just thank God for our mums and... You know, I remember my first Mother's Day. For those of you, though many of you know my story, Marco and I had a difficult journey to becoming parents. But when I became a mum, I was so excited about my first Mother's Day. And I was imagining that Marco had planned all sorts of things.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, but it did have to be a little bit special. And then I got up that morning and I soon realised that there was nothing planned. And he, look at the guys all good on you, Marco. Yeah, well done, Marco. No, it wasn't good. And he knew it. Before I knew it, the door, I heard the door slam. I heard him drive off. I thought, what happened? Anyway, he rushed into the local little Tesco's, picked up the first card that said, wonderful mother, paid for it, ran home, opened it, and inside it said, happy birthday. I am not joking. Hey, how did this become about Marco? I am not joking. And that is the card I got for my first Mother's Day. I just... We are still married.
Yeah, but not much longer.
Yeah, but you know what? Marco's surrounded by a shroud of brothers who are cheering him on. And in their heart, they're like, go on, my son. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, moving on. You know, there is something really special about mums. God has put something in our heart, isn't it? I like to say that the women, not just mums, women are soft and gentle and yet strong, determined. But I like the strong. You are not going out without brushing your teeth. Get back in here. Or you are not going out with those ripped jeans. That was my mum when ripped jeans were in fashion. She was like, what will people think? Ooh. Anyway, you know, there is something about mums that is just wonderful. And yet they can be very fierce. If they need to protect their babies, they will. And we humans have mastered the art of controlling ourselves. But I can tell you that if you look in the animal kingdom, you know, a mama bear will bite your head off if you go near her cubs or... not that anyone would dare, but, you know, and a few years ago, I had a glimpse into God's creation when a friend of mine asked me if I could look after his dog for one night because he was going on a business trip and normally he'd be able to leave her at home. She was a really good, easy, gentle, placid dog, but he said, I think she might be pregnant. So I'd like, and I'm like, what do you mean you think? You don't know? And he said, well... She ran off in the park a couple of months ago and she's getting bigger and I think she might be pregnant. I hadn't seen her for a few months. Anyway, he arrives with her and she's waddling and everything. She is so pregnant. Anyway, she's only with me for one night. Well, that night, guess what happened in my flat? She gave birth. Midwife. I was probably the rubbishiest midwife ever. I didn't know what to do with this. But incredibly, you know, God puts that instinct in animals. She knew exactly what to do. As that baby came out, she knew to rip the membrane off. And she loved that baby immediately, licking it, him, it was a baby boy, licking him and cuddling and feeding him. And she was so caught up in the joy of this new baby that she was even struggling to stop nursing him and give birth to her next puppy, because, you know, they tend to have more than one. And anyway, eventually, 10 hours later, She gave birth to her second puppy because the first one kept demanding food. You know, mummies, those babies that just want to feed all the time? I'm not referring to the husbands, I'm referring to the children that want to feed all the time. That's what she had. But then, a couple of hours after giving birth, the doorbell went and she went crazy. The barking, the picking up those puppies with her mouth, trying to hide them, because her instinct was to protect. And that's how fit. And she was a gentle dog. So I tell you, there is something God has put in us. Today we're going to look at a wonderful mum from the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is one of my favourite mums in the Bible. We don't know a lot about her. There are only a couple of chapters devoted to her. But she's an incredible woman, and we get a glimpse of her heart. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at the story of Hannah. And I'm going to read through, and we're going to pause as we read through. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuf, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuf, of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So we've caught our first glimpse into the family structure here. We've got a man who has two wives. That already spells trouble, doesn't it, really? But in those days, in ancient Israel, if a wife didn't produce children, because they always believed that any infertility was the woman's fault. If she didn't produce children within 10 years of a marriage, he could divorce her and take another wife, because progeny and securing your name and who to hand over your land to and who would take care of you when you were old and who would mourn you when you died was the most important thing. Having children was everything in that culture. It was even a command from God: be fruitful, go multiply, fill the earth. And so it was a woman's role to produce children. So it's believed that Hannah was the first wife who was unable to have children, and so Elkanah had taken a second wife, Peninnah. Let's read on from verse 3. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion, because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her, because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. And each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. What a cruel situation for poor Hannah. Can you imagine? Not only is she carrying this terrible shame, because that's how it was then, and the stigma that she had not been able to fulfill her only role in life. That's how they saw it. I'm so glad it's not like that now. But that's how they saw it. Your role is to be a mother and to have children, to be fruitful. But also the sister wife, or whatever we want to call her, the rival wife, was even taunting her. Now, there may have been something there of Elkanah. He loved Hannah. And maybe Peninnah was just the baby mother, yeah? It could be that Peninnah was jealous of this love that Elkanah had for Hannah. She's thinking, here I am producing all these kids and you don't even love me in the same way. We don't know, but it was cruel, it was painful. And the Bible never tells us that Hannah retaliated at all. She probably had nothing to fight back with. She probably thought, it's actually true. Reduced to tears. And then, you know, it just makes me wonder, if only Hannah had known what good company she was in. So many women in the Bible, infertile, or for a time infertile, couldn't have children, yeah? If we think Sarah, and then Rebecca, and Rachel. Rachel went as far as saying to her husband, give me children or I'll die, because that was the great shame upon her. And then we've got Samson's mother, even. We don't know her name, but she couldn't have children until she had Samson. And Elizabeth, who gave birth to John the Baptist. These amazing women who, for a time, seemed to not be fruitful, seemed to be unable to fulfill their role. And then God birthed these amazing men through them in his time. If only Hannah had known in that moment. But let's go on with that. And then in verse 8, I think there is something rather comedy about this. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Well, it was almost like, come on, babe, you've got me. What more do you want? I know, guys, you try really hard sometimes, but there are moments where you get it so wrong. But and we are full of grace. We will only remind you now and again for the next 30 years. I tell you, there is something of God's perfect timing in everything. Elkanah is doing his best, bless him. He is. He's trying. And it shows that he really did love her. But that is not where, that was not taking away her pain or her shame. Verse 9. "Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son," very specific, "give me a son, he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." Wow, this is a really powerful portion of scripture. First of all, we see Hannah praying bitterly to the Lord. You know, she is pouring everything out of herself. This is not just, "Lord, please give me a baby so that Penina can't make fun of me anymore and I can be like the other mums in the village. Amen." This is a bitter, anguished prayer. She is just telling him everything, bearing her soul completely to the Lord. And then what a promise. "I will give him back." How many parents promise that, you know, while they're pregnant or before they've conceived? How many of us have prayed that prayer? Lord, thank you for the baby you're going to give me, and I will give this baby back to you. It tells me something of Hannah, that beyond wanting to be a mum because that was her role in society, she wanted to be part of the kingdom. She wanted to do something for the kingdom, something to be for God's story, for the history of mankind on earth. She wanted to be a part of it, but in partnership with God. What an honor. She understood that. That's why having this baby was everything to her. Let's read on from verse 12. "As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her." Eli's the priest, remember. "Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. 'Must you come here drunk?' he demanded. 'Throw away your wine.' 'Oh no, sir,' she replied. 'I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow.'" Now, this passage here makes you wonder, why on earth would the priest, seeing this woman crying and rocking, probably swaying, and really, you know, she's in anguish. She is crying that she don't care if anybody's watching. You know, the ugly cry? She doesn't care. Why would he think she's drunk, of all things? Who says that? If we ever see anyone in church, you know, distressed, is that our first thought? No, I'd like to think not, right? We don't think they're drunk or anything. But this was a time in Israel's history that was spiritually very dark. The priests, apart from Eli, but he had not done a good job in raising his sons, but the priests, his sons, were wicked, corrupt. They were stealing the sacrifices and the offerings to God. They were not leading the people well. And so Eli was almost not accustomed to seeing such a pious woman. He hadn't seen someone pour her heart out to God, someone coming before God and just giving everything. He hadn't seen that in such a long time that he assumed drunk, yeah, because that was the society they were in at the time. But she's saying, no, I am just pouring out myself to God. In that case, Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. And then she went back and began to eat again. Earlier in the passage, we hear how Hannah can't eat. And she was no longer sad. Hannah had found her peace. She had found her faith again. God hadn't done a miracle yet in her life. She's still childless. She's still barren. But she has poured herself out to God. She has met with the living God. She's in his presence. And her peace has been restored. Isn't that a great place to be? You know, when things are troubling us, where is the place to be? You know, when there's a storm or when there's a hurricane, right in the middle of it, because there's a place of peace in there. And that is in the presence of God. And we read the rest of this chapter. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah, where Elkanah slept with Hannah. The Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. It also means the Lord heard me. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now and may the Lord help you keep your promise. What a promise. The baby she had longed for, she was going to give him away. Well, give him to God. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. What I love in this passage is that Hannah kept her promise. She could have had her baby and thought, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I can't do it. I can't let him go. But she did. And also, where the Bible talks about weaning, it's a little bit different to what we think of weaning. We think of weaning as in food, just food. In those days, weaning was also spiritual input. So she made sure that Samuel was ready and strong, but he was still a child. But she poured into him everything she knew of God. You know, her strong faith and prepared him for the greatest ministry that God had prepared in advance for Samuel. Samuel goes on to become one of the greatest characters of the Bible. He was there at a pivotal moment in Israel's history where things changed from judges to priests to prophets. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets. He anointed the first king of Israel and the second king, the most important. So the first was Saul, followed by David, the most important king. Samuel gave his life to God and served God for the rest of his life, all because of that praying mother. Isn't that amazing? Hannah had understood three things, I believe. This is what I read into this. That her peace was in God. Her trust was in God. Before God has even done a thing, you know, before he has even performed the miracle in her life, her peace was there. Her trust was in him. That's the first thing. She also understood that everything belongs to God. Nothing is ours. We have to leave it all behind at some point, or we have to leave it all to someone else. But she understood, my son belongs to God. And above all, and I think this one can apply to us today, she understood that serving the kingdom was the greatest thing that her son could do, and the greatest thing that she could do to serve the kingdom by giving her son back to God. You know, the best job in the world, the best education, the best sport, the best car, the best house, the biggest salary is nothing when compared to what we can do in the kingdom of God. And Hannah had understood that. She thought, I want that for my son, even if I'm going to sacrifice everything. And she had no promise of whether she would go on to have any more children. But I encourage you to continue reading. Read chapter 2 when you get home. And in there you will find the verse where Hannah was blessed with 5 more children. Yeah, isn't that great? God had said, you know, you have been faithful with what I've given you, and I will bless you beyond, you know, all measure. I just want to pause for a moment. You know, the guys prayed for all the women earlier and prayed into some of the sadness that sometimes Mother's Day can be. You know, it can be a reminder that your mum is no longer here. You know, when I think of Marco's mum passed away nearly 13 years ago, so she never met Mimi and Lexi. And I do think, you know, it can be a bit sad if you've lost your mum, that she didn't see how well you've turned out. Let's hope. She hasn't maybe seen how great your children are. You know, those moments that you want to share with your mum because only mum really, really cares. You know how mums care just because they care? No reason. And dads are the same. You know, there's something about that. So there could be that sadness. Or you might feel, I'll never be a mum, and that yearning. Or you're hoping one day maybe, Lord, please, when is my time going to come? I know how that feels. Many of you know, Mark and I struggled and we went on to adopt 2 wonderful children and we are so blessed. I can't tell you. I'm so glad I didn't have a birth child because those were my children. God had chosen them well in advance. We didn't know. But I remember that yearning. I remember almost being a Rachel saying to Marco, give me a child or I'll die. Dramatic. You know what? I'm Italian. My heritage is Italian. We love a drama. Yes. Thank you, Maria. But I do think there's more in this story. It's not just about being a mum. It's maybe you're feeling fruitless. God has put in us a desire to be fruitful. You know, everything we do needs to have purpose, right? The purpose is the kingdom. But in the meantime, you might feel, I'm not achieving anything. Look at everyone else, so successful. You might be thinking, I desperately want that job, or I desperately want that education. I wish I had that degree. Now I could do X, Y, Z or something. You might be feeling fruitless, but God's got a plan for you. And if you, like Hannah, pour that out to him, give that to him, he will fill you with whatever it is that he has got planned. Sometimes we have to let go of our own dream, don't we? Not always, but sometimes. It could be that God's got something else for us. And my dream was to have my own children. And you know, I tried to bargain with God. I said, God, give me one birth child and I'll adopt one. But God was probably sitting on his throne going, no, you won't. You'll have one and then you'll start begging me for a second one rather than adopt. Because God had planned adoption for us, you know, and that's how it is. And when we accept God's plan for our life, we will be so fruitful. I want us to pray into that in a minute. I also want to pray for our kids who are not walking with the Lord. You know, children, some of us have grown up children, I don't, but some of you will have grown up children who maybe have come away from God, or maybe you've become a Christian later in life and your children haven't joined you on that journey yet. We want to pray for that. That you will pour out God's wisdom over your children and that they will see something in your lives that will affect them and touch them. And I also want to pray for our little children, that they will be protected all the days of their life, that they will be Samuels. I also want to pray for us parents, that we will choose well for our children. And I also want to remind us all, we are all parents to each other. You know, I can be a mum to other women, younger women. You can be a mum, you can be a dad to a younger man. It's not just your own birth children. In God's kingdom, there's no such thing. We look out for each other. We're a family. So can I invite you to stand, please? Yeah, Father God, I want to thank you so much for this wonderful story of Hannah. I thank you so much. I personally remember that story at church when I was 5 years old. That was the first time I recall hearing it, and it stayed with me forever. This amazing woman who desperately wanted a child but was so joyful at giving him back to you. Lord, I want to pray your peace and your joy over anybody here who's feeling a bit sad when thinking of mum, because mum's no longer here, or because relationship with mum was difficult, or because they feel they may never be a mum. May they know your plan for their life. I want to pray for all men and women here present who may feel fruitless today, who may feel that they're not being productive, that they've lost their way, or they haven't found it yet. I just pray, open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. I want to pray that each one of us will go home later and pour out whatever is causing us deep anguish, if there is anything like that, and that you will take it away. Just want to pray that we as a family will thrive because we're in your kingdom, that we will be mums and dads to each other, and that we will be the heart, your heart. We will show your heart. You are mother and father to us, and we thank you for that. And so we pray that we will show your heart to each other, that we are for each other, that we celebrate each other. We thank you for that. I want to pray for those parents here who are in pain because their children are not walking in your kingdom, that their children haven't chosen you. And I want to pray for them, Lord. I want to pray that you still their heart, give them peace, and give them an assurance. May they find that place before your throne, that place of peace and trust, before even the miracle has taken place. And I pray for those adult kids that they will see something so special, so attractive, because there is nothing the world can offer that takes the place of you. I pray for our little children. I pray for the parents of young children that you will give us wisdom, Lord, to show your love to them, to parent them as you parent us. To parent them without fear, knowing that you love them far more than we could ever love them. I pray, Lord, that we will always choose your kingdom for our children before the good job, before the good education, before all of that. Those things are important, and we thank you for that, Lord. But seek first your kingdom is what your Bible says, and that is what we want to do. Seek your kingdom for our children, and the rest will be added. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the love that you have poured out over us. We thank you that your mercy is new every day. Just like a parent, you forgive us as we forgive our children. Every day is new. I just want to thank you, Lord. And I just want to pray again, Lord, your peace descend on each heart in here today. In your mighty and powerful name we pray. Amen. I just want to encourage you, if anything resonates, if there is any pain that you need to let go of, at the end of the service, we do have a prayer team, and they are desperate to pray with you because that is their heart for you, that you will flourish and blossom and that you will seek his will before anything the world can offer you. Should we invite the band back? And we want to go before the throne of God again and worship him some more. Amen.